It has, oh God, it has struck me that, or came upon me, that there's a basic thing that I assume everybody understands when we talk about flesh and spirit. But I don't think people do. And so, from God's standpoint, when it talks about if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption, the way the New Testament writers meant that is that it's anything other than God, anything that you can perceive by your senses. So the flesh is much more, it's the Greek word sarx, but it's much more than just the flesh of your body or the, it's everything that isn't God, everything that isn't spirit. So if you sow to the flesh or to the senses or the sensual or that which is capable of seeing and being understood by the senses, you will of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the spirit, you will of the spirit reap life eternal. Now the book of Galatians is a book that tells us about this. And I may have gone about this the wrong way, because remember we got a new cliche, the paradigm shift in how you view the world. But it's not something that you have to try to do. It's something that has already been done. So if we look at Galatians 1. Wait a minute, we're not in Galatians. There we are. He said, he was talking about, in verse 3 it says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sin, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." When you see the word deliver and the so-called deliverance ministries, the deliver, if they're trying to deal with your flesh, then by definition, you're going to reap corruption from the deliverance ministry. Now let's look at another one. Let's look at the Colossians real quick. General Electric Power Company.
What would the corruption look like? What is it? Does corruption mean the opposite of what you were trying to get? Or I don't understand the corruption.
Corruption is anything that denigrates, that changes with time. That, if Darwin wouldn't have come up with his theories, Christians would have invented it, because Christianity believes in spiritual evolution. There's a book out, and I can't remember the name of it right now, but it says that Darwin was a believer and he said this incredible thing. He said, "I threw this idea out, and the whole world rushed after it. But all I ever want is my Jesus." I mean, science and religion and science and spirit aren't incompatible. The problem is science can only take you to this point of chaos that we've talked about so often. It can't take you, because there's a great gap that God, and that the name of that gap in mathematical or scientific terms is chaos. And you can't get there from here. But he's delivered us from this present age. Past tense, he has delivered us. We are not of this world. Colossians says it better. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Verse in verse 9, it's talking about coming to God, etc. And it's in verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Actually, it says the kingdom of the Son of His love. When Christ ascended, that meant that He brought a new world. There's a new age, a new creation that is overriding reality that has absolutely nothing to do with His present age of darkness. The kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God is come. It is all around us. It is our overriding reality. But if we sow to the senses, we will if we sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. Now, you must know that by now. You know, all of the things that you try to do, whether it be something with regard to what your work is, or whether it's some kind of improvement of self or improvement in relationships or any of those things, you're sowing to the flesh. That's why how-tos are so incredibly evil. That's why that kingdom of the middle ground in the name of God is called Babylon. It's the whore of Babylon is seated on that. She's the head of it. We live in a kingdom for which everything is perfect, everything is complete, everything is finished. And so our mindset must be the same as the kingdom in which we are living. I've told you so often that John saw the New Jerusalem descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. He didn't go back up. That kingdom, that New Jerusalem, is our overriding reality. It is the only reality, because reality is something that doesn't change with time. Otherwise, your reality is only momentary. You can only define your reality by this instant. This is why I've said, to the sort of weird looks of some, that the concept of zero is evil. To think that there is a nothing or a zero, that you, by definition, that causes you to, you have to sow to the flesh, because you're trying to fix the zero. Now, believe it or not, this all has something to do with that incredible statement, "He that believeth on me, there shall be rivers of living water flowing out of him." Rivers of life-giving water. But you got to see that everything that you see is of this flesh. It's of the kingdom of the flesh. Everything you can think about is of the kingdom of the flesh. And that's why I keep saying over and over, you cannot use that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed. Everything is a free gift of God, freely given. And so when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, it's simply what life is like in this different reality. This, you're a new race formed from Himself. He has invaded you from beyond the pale, from beyond time and space. He has invaded you. And now you have an opportunity to sow only to the Spirit. Now, the hallmark of a saint isn't success, because by definition, this world we live in, the hallmark of a saint is always going to be testing. Now, some of you probably forgot, but from the very beginning, my prayer has been to the world, the flesh, and the devil, take your best shot. You know, and from my standpoint, it's here, kitty, kitty. I mean, it's the best shot is meaningless. You know, just we have already been translated, transfigured out of this kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We've already been translated from darkness to light. It's already happened. And so if you're giving breath to any aspect of that which is perceived by the senses, then you are sowing to the flesh and breathing while you are doing it, you're breathing life into the Antichrist. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter whether it's... That's why I keep insisting that there is no difference. There is absolutely no difference in importance from one thing that you do in time and space for over another. Everything is equal. But it's only... And its only purpose is to cause you to be fully... To cause the real you to be fully tested. The only purpose of time and space is affliction. I mean, that must be evident to you by now. And so the gift of faith, that remember the gift of... We've only gotten to three of the 12 gifts. We've studied the gift of wisdom, which is what? The axe has been laid to the root of the tree of the whole human race. But forget about the human race. It's been laid to the root of the tree. You're the tree that it's been laid root. There's nothing of value that you can produce. All flesh is as grass. And the glory of flesh is as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away, but the Word of God, this Word, the Logos, the essence of God, abideth forever, because the gift of God is eternal life. Is this touching anybody? You don't have to sow to the flesh ever again. You don't have to give any breath. And it doesn't matter. Oh, that's easy for you to say. I mean, I hear the blah, 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 blah. That's easy for you to say, Oli, because you don't do anything. Good. I'm just kidding. I don't care what you do with it. You look like you've been hit with a brick. What's going on?
Well, thank you. Remember how you said it. The only purpose of time and space is antagonism or something.
Affliction.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that. It's true. I said to somebody, I've been listening to, working with the Bible study tapes from 1985. And from then till now...
How long ago is that? That's 20 years ago almost.
Almost 19 years ago. Rutledge can figure that out. It's kind of weird listening to that and then coming here and sitting here and listening to this. And it's like, what has taken place in that 19 years? And all the details all the, this has to be done by this time, and all the stuff of, that you think is of life is gone and forgotten and meaningless. The only purpose of it was, okay?
Go to Romans 8. Gary, what's going on?
Oh, I'm thinking about sowing. Except for the cross, all I do is sow to the flesh, even if I think I'm not. So, I'm not in, as me, I'm not able to perform this sowing to the Spirit. But
of course you are.
In abandonment, I do sow to the Spirit.
But then abandonment has to be your only course.
Sure.
Without,
you don't sow to the Spirit from the flesh side.
Anything other than abandonment is sowing to the flesh.
Yes.
Now, these words that are, we celebrate the Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of First Fruits is, let's look and see what it says.
Where are we?
We're in Romans 8. Verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Now, the creature is you. You and I. The creature was made subject to vanity. Now, the word vanity doesn't mean you like to look at yourself in the mirror. That's just obvious. But the word vanity means fruitlessness, without value, empty, vain. The creature was made subject to an inevitable position of no purpose. Do you understand that? What?
Well, that's the truth that
you don't want to hear.
Well, then everybody at some point realize, you might be 12 years old or whatever, but you realize there's no place to go but the grave. Nothing. I mean, you realize that it's vanity. Some point early in life.
Yeah, better. That's why the Ecclesiastes says, better is the day of man's death than the day of his birth. But he's not talking about you're dying and going into the grave empty. It's talking about your death to self. The cross. Better is the day of the cross than the day of your birth.
Oh, it's like the purpose of man is to disprove that reality.
Well,
everything that we do is to get away from the facts.
For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. Now, by definition, the creature can't know that he is subject to vanity. Otherwise, there couldn't be the end result of God, which is the end result of God. God wants people, God, to put it very simply, God wants pals. He wants people that will understand him and be co-inheritors with him so that that you will do what he wants you to do without him asking you to. That's what the real meaning of obedience is. So the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him, big him, who hath subjected the same creature in hope. His hope is that you would accept the finished work of his Son and no longer live, but that you would walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called. That doesn't mean I'm going to be a good doctor or a good anything. It means that I am no longer going to sow to the flesh. I'm not going to. It just makes me crazy every time I hear these people talking about sowing their seed into hot soil. And that's whatever they do with that is sowing. The will only reap corruption. Oh, I'm going to have a healing ministry. Well,
it's all with an agenda.
You're going to end up sowing corruption because that person you healed is going to die. There's nothing that you can do. There's no effort that you can make that has any eternal value. That's why the whole mystery of God is rest. The only way you're sowing to the Spirit, because He then is you are empty at rest. He is doing His shtick, which isn't your shtick. Now, all we've done for 30 some years, apparently not very well, is to cause you to see the emptiness of your life at deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper levels. Anybody want to? I wish I would. Here, kitty, kitty. Come here. Somebody. Yeah. Because the creature, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. That's what I just said. I said it right. Did you notice that? Do I get a star? Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Now listen carefully. The first fruits are part of the harvest. The harvest has already started. Say not yet to yourselves that there are 4 months until the harvest. For say and see, the fields are white unto harvest. They were white 2,000 years ago. It's all done. It's all finished. Now, I'm going to a couple of quotes. The apostles speak of themselves and their generation as living in the frontier of two ages, and the gospel, as it were, transferring them across the border. Since Jesus gave himself to blot out sin, he created the situation in which we, his body, in anticipation of this future age, are now living in that age, freed from the present age, and are fully living in the new one. The Christ event in this sacrifice that bore away the sin of the world caused the future age to break in upon us. For believers, therefore, the old age is completely gone. And it's not debatable. Now, the gift of faith is what allows you to stay in that age without fainting in your mind, with constancy, with integrity, with fidelity, with boldness, that you only respond to anything from that age, this new age, this new kingdom, this eternal point of view. Oh no, that's good for morning Bible study, but then I have to get back to the real world. Well, then you're a fool. Is anybody hearing me? Or is this sort of just some intellectual exercise that you're going to forget as soon as you walk out the door? Michael, what's going on? You're going to forget as soon as you walk out the door.
I just, been conscious of the fact that I'm still in corruption. Even before this Bible study, I know it's.
You can tell it by your clothes.
My,
I'm just kidding.
But the other day I was praying for the queer eyes for the straight guy would come and visit us. I didn't say that.
Starting in your room.
Starting in my room. That's what I'm saying. Us. I didn't say him. I said us. Talk to me.
It seems clearer than ever.
You know, this idea that what we see and comprehend and hear is different than what's going on outside the door. I mean, that's where that threshold, your mind says, oh, whatever Bob is touching now, like to say, now it's the real world. But that's
I just said that.
I know, I was repeating it for effect. Well, others who didn't hear you the first time. But that's basically the challenge, is to battle or not by that mind. Free.
Be you transfigured by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
But if you let your mind go back into the everyday world, then you better hope for you better account the long suffering of our Lord as salvation. You better hope he suffers a while longer. Anything from the peanut gallery?
No, we're pretty quiet.
No, hang around with you guys the last couple months. I'm not saying the contrarian viewpoint. It's made me all too aware that my Christian friends on the outside measure your faith by your things, by your financial status.
I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Galatians.
I'm just aware of that.
Okay, I'm not concerned about your Christian friends. I'm concerned about you.
Well, I'm hanging around here.
You know this thing, though, about going outside the door and all of a sudden the world comes crashing in and everything's changed and the hell with what we just saw. It all only ever, though, comes back to me protecting me. Me wanting to get something from me or keep from losing something from me. It doesn't have to do with the welfare of the body or, you know, any high purpose. It's always just me protecting me.
No, I'm just talking to the people in here now. Okay? Flesh is to spirit as corruption is to eternal life, as the individual is the church. If you still have this isolated self mindset, then you're reaping to corruption by definition. If you are in any way concerned with you or yours and your welfare, you're reaping to this. You're sowing to corruption because you're and what you are doing spiritually is you're committing fornication. This is why it says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Well, fornication is in any way sowing to the flesh. Well, I got to sow to the flesh because my kids need shoes. No. That's just... More than likely, it's I've got to sow to the flesh because I want to eat my children's flesh. I want to gain some identity from their accomplishments or for what they're doing. Let's go. Galatians, I said that. Verse 12. Chapter 6, I'm sorry. Verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. In other words, if you're, and again, this is written to a community, so as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, it's talking to a body. It's talking to a group of people just like us in Galatia. As many of you as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, you constrain somebody else to stop doing something or start doing something. Do you understand that? As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you, others, to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. That's an incredibly important concept. The world is crucified unto you, but you are crucified unto the world also. Because that is the only way that it will stop this, you know, religion. Because otherwise, you know, you're going to try to make a fair show in the flesh. And it's the only way you can not sow to the flesh, is if the world is crucified unto you and you unto the world. Am I communicating? If you're not, the evidence is that you will want somebody else to change. Because you desire to make a fair show on the flesh so that you won't suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Part of the persecution for the cross of Christ is the people you have to hang around with. You are to be signs and wonders. And as I've said so often, you're not you're a sign and a wonder, not because you run around and call fire down from heaven. You're a sign and a wonder because your very presence is a threat to every mindset, every philosophy, every form of religion, every form of thought in the free world and in the unfree world. But if you don't walk, conduct your life if you're not walking worthy of the vocation in which you were called, then you will be, you know, you're one of these people that you'll be a different person in every environment that you're in. You go to see your mommy, and then you're a different person for a while. Then you go see your old classmates, and you're a different person. Just before I became a believer, in the months leading up to it, I was either chairman or president of 11 different organizations, and I was a different person in every one of those places. Just got boring. Now, are you the same person all the time? If you're not, you're not walking worthy of the vocation in which you're called. The only solution is repentance. Because there's no way to learn this walk. The only way you can walk this walk is abandonment. So again, the end of the age has already happened. The gift of God is eternal life, living life without regard to the passage of time. If you see it, then by definition, everything in the time that we live in is equally important. There's no, this is, we had a meeting the other day where if Kevin didn't know this, if Kevin didn't know that washing dishes was just as important as what he's doing with the computer stuff, then he'd go crazy. Then this place would be a lie. But for him, that's, for him, that's the manifestation of freedom. Because if you have to rank the things you do, just think, I mean, that's mind-blowing bondage. Right? Okay, I'm going to read this one more thing, and then we'll quit. Actually, I'm going to read something we just read already. General Electric Power Company. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us, past tense, into the kingdom of the Son of His love. It's already happened. It's already done. The only way to live in that kingdom is the abandonment of self, taking no thought for you. The definition of corruption for this purpose is self-awareness. It's got many other definitions, but that's an important one.
To me, the definition of corruption that helps me understand is that which can never satisfy. I'm always searching for whether it's self-fulfillment or some satisfaction in what I do, and corruption, it's that which can't satisfy. And what I have to get to is a point where I see nothing can satisfy except that which is eternal.
Yeah. And He alone is eternal. He alone has immortality. That's one of the other least studied scriptures in evangelical Christianity.
You know, it's the most consistent thing that I've heard and I know. That abandonment of self, and it's like there's no loopholes, there's no other way around it, there's no other thing that you can do to get to where we're trying to go. It's like it's the only thing I've heard. It doesn't matter if what state that I'm in, I know when that I am not, and I know when I'm not, in that state.
Yeah, the prayer is that each of you would find that if you were ever aware of yourself for any reason, it would be a rare thing. It would be silly, just goofy, because that always is going to come up. But by definition, every time there's the slightest hint of self-awareness, especially in the mind talk, that's where it all happens. That's where all those little voices are. any I in that has got to go. Anybody else? Everybody understand perfectly? The congregation said?
Amen.
Amen and amen, brother.
The gift of faith is seeing the eternal in everything. And with no concern for satisfaction or outcome.
We haven't gotten there yet. But the gift of faith causes you to be able to see through everything. So you look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. So my prayer is that you would, wherever you look, I mean, it says it many different ways. Wherever you look, you see God is all and in all. Wherever you look, you see Christ is all and in all. Wherever you look, you see only the New Jerusalem. And that's not dependent on your ability, except to recognize with some integrity that you're a screw-up. And that shouldn't be hard for you. I know you. Michael's looking at me strangely again. You understand? All right, take. What?
You understand?
Take it, big guy.